But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some Brainworm-approved health advice from AI. Move on to the story of how DHS framed a dude just so they could deport him. And follow all of that up with the taco that's got Drumpf all chicken. Let's begin, shall we? Out of all the Christian nationalist things Republicans have been doing to whitewash the United States and white supremacy, it took 220 of them voting to kick nearly 14 million Americans off of their health insurance, among other despicable things, for the maggots to finally have regrets about their electoral choices, which is why these billionaire knobgobbers are told not to have town halls with their constituents, because clips coming out of these meetings are making their party look pretty shitty, especially with their boomer voters yelling at the top of their senior citizen voices. For example,
I was also proud to vote for President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill last week. This is a generational investment. This is a general investment. This is your time.
You mentioned things like the Medicaid and how some people currently on Medicaid would not be able to receive Medicaid. That's because they're not currently eligible by the original definition of Medicaid, and they will be moved off of those Medicaid rolls. When you are arguing about illegals that are receiving Medicaid benefits, 1.4 million, they are not eligible, so they will be coming off. So we all are going to die. So, for heaven's sakes, folks, okay.
Can you please tell us why you voted to approve a budget bill that includes Section 70302, which effectively prohibits federal courts from enforcing contempt orders, which would then allow current and future administrations to ignore those contempt orders by removing the enforcement capabilities?
I do not agree with that section that was added to that bill. This provision was unknown to me when I voted for the bill.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was Mike Flood, Nebraska's lamest excuse for a House rep, forgetting he's not in fifth grade when he pulled out that "I didn't read it" defense, like it's going to help. Because admitting to the people who voted for you that you're the most willfully illiterate choice Nebraska's District 1 has ever made for congressional representation, especially in the last 3 years, isn't good when you're depending on those douchebags to get you reelected next year.
You didn't see that coming?
But the winner of all the audacity goes to the walking, talking fried butter stick who identifies as Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa, that turned her town hall into the sole reason for replacing this bitch in 2026. For saying the quiet part out loud when she caucasically said, "Everybody dies," like she's not flippantly referring to some of her constituents' loved ones and probably should at least pretend she gives a shit about, instead of sounding like this.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
Not to mention that Joni justifies her vote for Mango Mussolini's huge, gaudy billionaire giveaway by telling herself and apparently her constituents that their loved ones are actually illegal immigrants who shouldn't have access to healthcare in the first place. Not that they do, by the way, according to factual information, illegal immigrants do not have access to Medicare or Medicaid. But that's Joni's story, and she's sticking to it. A hill Republicans are willing to die on in order to take that money from the poor.
Billionaires could use more money, take that money from the poor. Why do the poor need health care, really? Take Medicaid from the poor. Drill, baby, drill, just to save a nickel, but don't give that nickel to the poor.
put chemicals in your food and water, then give that stuff to the poor. The rich seem to be sex freaks, that's wild. Always mentioned in the Epstein file. They cried when they brought up at the Diddy trial, but smile when you steal it from the poor.
A sentiment that happens to pair perfectly with the latest brainworm policy coming out of the vocally challenged mess running the Department of Health and Human Services. Because when you're cutting medical services and programs that all Americans pay into, in order to just hand that cash over to Dumas's like the Adderall-snorting, magic mushroom-chomping South African super dork, formerly known as the Special Government Twat, who spent the last 130 days riding a ketamine and friends wave worth of 8 million taxpayer dollars a day on top of the congillion of dollars that he's received in Trump regime contracts already, and then the same douche who allegedly got into a grumpy old man style brawl with Scott Bessent, that 62-year-old hedge fund jackass running the U.S. Treasury, according to Steve, I wear 17 shirts under my flannel Bannon, the real reason why Phony Stark is sporting a black eye.
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
But I digress. Over at the newly christened Department of Shit We Just Made Up, RFK Brainworm has unveiled a report he can barely catch his breath long enough to articulate, called MAHA, Make America Healthy Again. And while that sounds fucking dumb, coming from a guy whose boss wants us to believe that he's 225 pounds when we all know that's not how the weight of mass works. And while all of that is some old bullshit, this MAHA report takes it a step farther by outsourcing Skynet to author it.
The White House hailed the first report from the Make America Healthy Again Commission as a game-changing document addressing chronic health problems in children. Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says his Make America Healthy Again Commission report harnesses gold standard science, citing more than 500 studies and other sources to back up its claims. Those citations, though, are rife with errors, from broken links to misstated conclusions. Seven of the cited sources don't appear to exist at all.
I understand there were some formatting issues with the MAHA report that are being addressed, and the report will be updated, but it does not negate the substance of the report, which, as you know, is one of the most transformative health reports that has ever been released by the federal government, is backed on good science that has never been recognized by the federal government.
Seven sources were completely non-existent. Some of the links were broken, or some of the conclusions that they came to by using some of these valid authors or articles didn't match exactly what the article said. I don't think that that's a formatting issue. Quite frankly, you know, did you guys use AI? Because sometimes when you use AI and you kind of put it all into the machine, it basically hallucinates links. It hallucinates citations to show that this was gathered by AI.
Oh, so that's what Thin Lips Levitt meant when she said the report was backed by science previously not recognized by the federal government, referring to the fact that AI didn't exist back then. But now, thanks to poorly educated programming fueled by artificial nightmares, we have governmental policy brought to you by the likes of such overtly Aryan AI as Elmo Schmuck's Grok. And by the way, Grok did a shitty job. 500 plus citations, seven of them are made up, a large portion of them don't even exist, and the rest are misinterpretations of actual science. And we know that because the people who conducted those misrepresented studies said, we didn't fucking write that. But please, tell me again how a former 17-year heroin junkie who peddles medical conspiracies, saves dead bears in the park for a late-night snack, and who sounds like a walking, talking medical emergency should be overseeing the health of anybody.
The suspense is terrible.
He's going to go this time.
I hope it'll last.
And while we're on the subject of taxpayer dollars going to waste, apparently, the brainworm at HHS isn't the only Republican who has a penchant for manipulating data. Turns out the former South Carolina Waffle House waitress turned congressional squatter with a disturbing fixation on who's using the women's bathroom, House Rep Mansi Nace, who also is a bit of a computer programmer herself, Not that she was elected by the First District of South Carolina to be coding all day on Capitol Hill, but here we are.
The Daily Beast reported in 2023 that Mace's staffers were told they, quote, needed to book Mace on national TV outlet between 1 and 3 times per day, a staggering 9 times per week at minimum. Now, Wired reports Mace's former staffers say she had them make burner accounts to promote and defend her online. Quote, we had to make multiple accounts, burner accounts, and go and reply to comments saying things that weren't true. Even Reddit forums, a former staffer says. We were congressional staff, and there were actual things we could be doing to help the constituents.
She doesn't care about the constituents. It's all about the branding, the reputation, yeah. The social media. That is the definition of the next generation of up-and-coming politicians trying to be in the manner of Trump.
So they would pretend to be genuine fans who were going on and talking about how she's great and totally not a grifter. And it's not deeply depressing how she's made attacking trans people her whole personality. It's actually awesome. But it was really her staff. And in many cases, it was her doing that. That's what they're saying.
Wesley Donahue, whose firm did consulting work for me, said in a deposition. This is in deposition.
Yes.
She programs her own bots. She sets up Twitter burner accounts. This is the kind of thing she does. She sits all night on the couch and programs bots because she's very, very computer savvy. She controls her own voter database. She programs a lot of her own websites. She programs Facebook bots and Instagram bots and Twitter bots. It's what she does for fun.
So you might recall that she's had trouble with staff in the past. She lost her entire staff between 2023 and 2024. It was a 4-month period. Her office had a 100% turnover rate.
Oh, wow. Oh, Mancy. That's sad and impressive all at the same time. And I get it. Your continued employment is based on popularity, and the Waffle House probably is not excited to think about you coming back to work. So, girl, I gotta say, what the fuck? You are the waste, fraud, and abuse. I'll bet you're real glad the drugged up cowboy is leaving his government twat days behind him, because not a fucking thing is going to happen to you for wasting taxpayer money on creating fraudulent online accounts just to make sure your verbal abuse gets more clicks. Unless the people of South Carolina's first district don't vote your bony ass back into Congress next year. Until then, I wish you
my thoughts and prayers.
And while we're all waiting for those Epstein files that will never be released, because pervert Huber's Sharpie signature is all over those flight records, let's focus on the Trump regime's Department of Human Trafficking, otherwise known as DHS. Since January 20th, South Dakota's former governor and confirmed puppy killer Kristi Noem has been the lip filler behind most of the white supremacist things going on in this United States, at least right now, by getting rid of all the brown people. Noem's army of totally not J6ers, who are hiding behind masks, wearing gear that they had express shipped from Amazon, have been showing up in neighborhoods, construction sites, and especially court hearings in order to round up anyone who is in the process of obtaining their citizenship. Like having her ICSS soldiers zip tie a mother along with her 9-year-old and 12-year-old children at the courthouse, all because they showed up to support their mother's naturalization at her hearing. Yeah, you heard me. A 9-year-old and a 12-year-old zip tied and kidnapped along with their mother and disappeared by ICE, currently being held where the fuck we don't know because
this is the bad place.
Oh, but lo and behold, that inhuman display of apathy shockingly isn't enough for the puppy killer running DHS. Because when it comes to making people disappear, there's apparently nothing these ice holes aren't willing to do.
A stunning allegation, and a serious one, made by the Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday, accusing an undocumented immigrant of sending a letter threatening to kill President Trump. Sources tell CNN that investigators actually believe that individual was set up. Law enforcement believes the man, Ramon Morales Reyes, never wrote this letter that the secretary posted here, which promises to, quote, self-deport back to Mexico after shooting, quote, your precious president in his head.
Reyes was the victim of an assault and robbery case. The intention was to try to get Reyes deported before that robbery and assault case went to trial later this summer. And here's how investigators figured it out. And they had Reyes do a handwriting sample. And what they found was that the handwriting sample that Reyes provided did not match the handwriting of the letter and that was sent to multiple different agencies. And investigators reviewed jail calls involving a person they believe was involved in actually penning this letter.
There are many people who will provide a false statement trying to get somebody else in trouble for their own advantage. And this seems to be kind of a classic one of those capers. Something that the investigators on the ground probably considered right away, but it seems that Ms. Noem did not.
And people go to conclusions, they get names, they get faces out there, and you can't really walk it back once it's out there.
There are no charges filed yet. The Department of Homeland Security said through their investigation, they have determined that Reyes is an undocumented migrant, that he is here illegally, and that he is going to remain in custody.
Well, that's fucking disturbing. I get that there aren't as many illegals in this country as y'all thought, but you've expanded your efforts to include anyone who wasn't born in the United States on U.S. soil, and that is despicable. Setting up someone with a fake letter threatening the president just so you can abduct another migrant, that's fucked up shit. This dude was the victim, the actual victim in this case, and about to testify against the bad guy. But fuck all that shit now, because Ice Barbie claimed another casualty in her war to make America whites only.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
Meanwhile, the Jesus freaks over at the Texas House Legislature have been hellbent on desegregating church and state in the name of Christian values by mandating all classrooms now display the Ten Commandments. Never mind that they are located in the Torah, a Jewish religious text Christians have appropriated and rebranded as the Old Testament, or the fact that they met to debate and discuss this abomination of a bill in the most hypocritical way possible. A fact not lost on Texas Rep. James Tallarico, who had this exchange with SB 10's champion, the ironically named Candy Noble.
What is the fourth commandment?
Keep the Sabbath.
And so part of keeping the Sabbath holy is not working on the Sabbath?
That is, yeah.
What day is the Jewish Sabbath?
It is on Saturday.
And what day is it today?
It is Saturday. Here we are.
The Christian Sabbath is what day?
Sunday, in honor of the day that Jesus rose from the dead.
And we're scheduled to give this bill a final vote on what day of the week?
It's ironic, isn't it?
Would you be willing to postpone your bill so that we're not breaking the Ten Commandments by working on the Jewish or Christian Sabbath? You're saying that you'd rather tell people to follow the Ten Commandments than follow it yourself? We as a legislature are about to force every teacher in the state to post the Ten Commandments in their classrooms.
If
do
they
members
are donated.
Of the Texas legislature follow the Ten Commandments?
So again, this bill is about honoring our historical, educational, and judicial heritage with the displaying of the Ten Commandments.
The ninth commandment is thou shalt not bear false witness. Are you aware of any legislators who have lied about anything? Should focus more on trying to follow the Ten Commandments rather than telling others to follow them?
Maybe they didn't have them posted. It is incumbent on all of us to follow God's law, and I think that we would be better off if we did.
Do you think that seeing the Ten Commandments in a classroom might make a student feel closer to God?
Again, that is not the focus of this bill.
In the committee hearing for this bill, you said that students should see the Ten Commandments in their classroom and remember, quote, okay, God is watching.
What? Sure. I do not recall that. That was like 4:30 in the morning. I don't remember in what response that was, if indeed that was a response.
Oh no! There goes Candy Noble breaking the ninth commandment, claiming that she has having a very convenient senior moment, and proving that 64-year-olds are too old to hold office. Why? Because they can't remember what the fuck they said at 4 a.m.
Oh,
That's terrible.
You seem kind of psyched.
No, I'm bummed.
The fact is, Republicans in Texas are going full Republican Jesus, redesigning their public education to include Bronze Age mythology disguised as historical reality, and that's just not good if your goal is producing an educated Texan. But on the flip-flop side, creating intellectually challenged generations of zombie Jesus disciples may come in handy with the legions of poorly educated factory workers Texas is planning on pumping out. You know, for the GDP. Because we all know manufacturing is not coming back to the United States tomorrow, like old yam tits keep saying it will, which means we're going to keep trading goods with other countries. A fact Wall Street understands, since they're the ones trading commodities all day, except for lately. And by lately, I mean any given Friday when Taco Trump decides to impose some rando tariff that he'll chicken out and retract just a few days later. It's blatant market manipulation, but it's also hilarious to know Wall Street Batemans are calling the president's taco because Trump always chickens out.
Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out?
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that nice? Chicken out. I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff? When you ask a nasty question like that, it's called negotiation. But don't ever say what you said. That's a nasty question. To me, that's the nastiest question.
Oh, man. Call this mega bronzed gourd a chicken. And boy, does he go from zero to infinite rage quite quickly. And by quickly, I mean it took elderly Felonious a few minutes for his Adderall-dusted brain to register what he was actually being asked. But once that light slowly came on, being called a chicken is apparently the last taco shell because, according to the Economic Times, Crimes the Cluck told everyone in the White House who still listens to him that no one, no one is to call him chicken or a taco. Good news is, I don't work for the dumbest regime in history, so I can play this clip of Taco Trump from 2004.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, folks. I'm Donald Trump.
There's the moldy fowl himself, declaring his chickenhood 21 years ago, and apparently still going strong. Fortunately for the rest of us, the judiciary and third co-equal branch of the U.S. government isn't having any of it.
A three-judge panel in New York has effectively balked Trump's tariffs against Mexico and Canada, his tariffs against the EU, against China, his tariffs against uninhabited islands with nothing but penguins and snow. They are all blocked by this federal court decision. It comes out of the United States Court of International Trade, but it deals specifically with trade issues. A three-judge panel consisting of one Reagan appointee, one Obama appointee, and crucially and importantly, one Trump appointee, ruled unanimously that Trump's trade war is essentially illegal, that he does not have the authority to enact these sweeping tariffs on his own.
Many hours later,
an appeals court has temporarily reinstated President Trump's tariffs.
America cannot function if President Trump, or any other president for that matter, has their sensitive diplomatic or trade negotiations railroaded by activist judges.
A few moments later,
the back and forth over President Trump's tariffs continues.
President's reciprocal tariffs now on pause until July.
And round we go. Being a consumer in the Orange Klux economy is kind of like agreeing to play any of Billy the Puppet's games. So consumers have just said no and watch him ride his three-wheeler far the fuck away from them. And the sad reality is, Americans don't really have the luxury to do this. Because corporations began outsourcing labor decades ago. American manufacturing has gone the way of a pair of Donicons Depends, and no amount of tariffing other countries is going to bring it back tomorrow. And yet, Americans still need to buy cheap goods, not because they're cheap, but because their employers won't pay them a living wage and lawmakers haven't raised the federal minimum wage since 2009. Oh, and as far as trade deficits with other countries go, most of you failed high school economics and it shows. So here is a quick recap of events to explain to you why tariffs are fucking dumb.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the, anyone, the Great Depression, passed the, anyone, a tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which anyone raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression.
Wow. Wouldn't you know it? 2025 Republicans are just as stupid as Republicans from the 1900s. No wonder you guys want to dumb down American children, attack colleges, and DEI. That's the only way the playing field is going to be even with you guys. Leaving me to agree with the most permed member of Congress Kentucky could find in the back of an optometrist's closet to represent them on such basic concepts such as trade deficits.
And it's leading us to believe that we're always being ripped off. We have a trade deficit with Bangladesh. We will always have a trade deficit with Bangladesh. They are poor and we are rich. The richest people in this dinner tonight all have a bigger trade deficit with Amazon than I do. The more money you have, the more you spend. Poor people don't have as much. They have less of a trade deficit. Bangladesh will never buy from us as much as we buy from them. But we're not getting poorer because we trade with Bangladesh.
And damn you, Taco Trump, for making me agree with Rand fucking Paul again. Fuck, I gotta get a new bingo card for this year. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. We're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.